بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني في قولي. اللهم انفعني بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أيضا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Inshallah ta'ala, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he allow us in this blessed time, the month of Ramadan, in the time of fasting, and in this time of rain, that Allah ta'ala accept our du'as and all of our ibadat, and allow us inshallah to benefit greatly from the Quran and live our lives connected to the Quran inshallah ta'ala. We left off on a very interesting point about Nuh alayhi salam in the last section. And so the last part was basically where Nuh alayhi salam said this to his people after they had a huge laundry list of arguments against him, saying that these are our points as to why we don't think you're speaking the truth and we think you're all liars. So he goes and says, and they all said, based on what we've seen. So Nuh alayhi salam responds in the same way, like we spoke about last time. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ قَالَ نُوحٌ يَا قَوْمِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيْنَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّي وَآتَانِي رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِهِ فَعُمِّيَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ. He goes, what do you see? If I'm on a clear proof from my Lord and he's bestowed mercy upon me from himself, but it is hidden from your sight, shall we then force you? أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَا كَارِهُونَ. And again, he works on the fact that they kept saying that we see this, we find this, and we observe this. Because again, everyone from the narrow tunnel vision, and we'll get there in a second, they all see certain things. So Nuh alayhi salam wants them to consider a different perspective. This idea of broadening horizons, of expanding someone's horizons. This is the job of a prophet, a job of a person who's guiding his community to see further. So in any case, Nuh alayhi salam, you can see that he speaks strongly against him. He goes and says that it's not the fault of the fact that, the proof is clear. And if Allah's mercy comes out, it surrounds something from all four sides, from all corners and all ways. The fact is that I'm a messenger is clear for everyone to see. And the fact that I'm on clear proof is clear for everyone to see. The fault is not mine. The fault is yours. It's made blind on you because something else is wrong here. And he's accusing the fact that probably their vision is messed up. In other words, if you want to say it very nicely, if someone denies the sun, you don't argue with that person. Because obviously the sun is so manifestly clear for everyone to see. If someone has an issue that the sun exists or not, you clearly don't want to get into argument with that guy. He clearly has some problem with reality. Okay? So Nuh alayhi salam saying this in such a nice way, right? And so we want to remember this, that this is an example of a people that have nowhere to go in terms of discussion. There are certain times when you'll find people that really want to learn. They come to you with questions and they want to learn Islam or they want to learn about deen. And those are the people that you can benefit. Those are the people you can help. But there are certain other group of people that have nothing better to do with their time except waste your time, or have nothing else to do except make your life miserable. So when people don't want to learn, the thing is that when people don't want to learn, then there's a time when you have to be a little harder, a little stronger, and make the message a bit clearer in that sense. He does it at the same time of being a little strong and saying that maybe there's an issue with your sight. He does it in such a gentle way. I'm pretty sure no one even noticed. If you read the ayah by yourself, you didn't realize that he was criticizing their vision. Again, because he does it in such a gentle way. Ya qawmi, my beloved people, right? Again, using the ya, right? Saying, oh people, right? Oh, my beloved people. And he goes and says, ara'aytum, he says, do you think, right? Could it be that? He says, hypothetically speaking, let's say it's like this. So he does it in such a gentle way, Nuh alayhi salam. He's a prophet, because again, even though he is going to refute them, in this argument and debate, he still is a prophet of Allah and he always takes the higher route. And so we gotta remember that. If we're always going to debate someone, if we're going to argue with someone, we should always do it in a gentle way. It shouldn't be that the person leaves with their heart being so upset at such and such a person. No, this is what we do. Unfortunately, we never have any response as Muslims. Unfortunately, we're in such a condition that if someone were to come and ask us about our beliefs or ask us about our iman, we can never really defend our deen. We could not really defend our Islam. And so we're in a really bad position. So you want to remember that it's important that number one, first and foremost, we know the arguments for our Islam, for our deen. And then the second thing is that we should be able to say it in such a beautiful way that that person leaves happily, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? So this next discussion we're going to have, again, Nuh alayhi salam is going to address every single one of their points. Okay? The first thing he talked about was the issue of their sight and their vision and the fact that they called him a liar. He goes and says, I'm on a clear proof. There's no way I'm lying here. I have evidence for what I'm doing. So this next section, though, has a certain part that's, you know, really, if you understood Arabic, it will really help you out. To help you out here, I gave you a couple of principles here. When you hear a noun in Arabic, nouns are always, meaning they're always being applied. The meaning is always being applied. We'll explain it in a second. verbs are sometimes. So nouns are always, meaning they're beyond time. And verbs are sometimes, meaning sometimes within time. Okay? And we'll make it clear in a second. I'm going to give you an example. And the last thing we need to know is that there are certain past tense verbs. When you use past tense in Arabic, it usually is for something being done once. Being done once. So let's give you an example of all three of them for you all to see. Okay? I am a hitter. Right? In Arabic, you say, أنا ضاربٌ. I am a hitter, meaning I'm always hitting. This man has never stopped beating someone up. Okay? If you say I am in Arabic, it means always. أنا أضربُ. I do hit sometimes. If you use the present tense here, it means sometimes you hit, sometimes you don't. Maybe in a certain time you'll do it, certain times you won't do it. Okay? That's the present tense. And I hit, meaning past tense. In Arabic, that would be translated as ضربتُ. I hit. We understand it to be one time you hit, okay? And there are many more things within this, you know, of the noun, past, present tense, and past tense discussion, okay? I gave you different colors here, so that way you can notice when the noun is coming up, it's teal. When it's red, it's going to be the present tense. And when it's green, it's going to be the past tense. You're going to focus on the first two, because that's the next passage here. It's going to focus on the first two, the nouns and the present tense verbs, okay? This is just, again, a very brief way of looking at it. This is a very, as you probably thought, you heard this for just 2 minutes. It's a very complicated thing. Your meaning can get really messed up if you're not careful what you're saying. And Arabs have to pay a lot of attention to this. If you're talking about classical Arabic, you have to pay a lot of attention to this because you don't want the wrong implication or the wrong understanding to come out. So you got to make sure if you're using a noun, people have understood it to mean always. If you're using a present tense verb, it means sometimes here and there, sometime within time. Okay? So keep that in mind. Let's go to the next section. It says, يَا قَوْمِ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْهُمْ مُلَاقُو رَبِّي وَلَكِنِّي أَرَاكُمْ قَوْمًا تَجْهَلُونَ. Nuh alayhi salam, after moving from the discussion of them saying that he's a liar and that he has no virtue over them, he goes and takes care of another issue. He goes and says, O people, I do not ask you, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ, I don't ask you, present tense, at any time have I ever asked you for any wealth. Okay? He uses the present tense verb here because he says, never in any single instance of time have I ever even asked you. That's why he uses the verb, because it's connected to time. For any wealth because of it, my reward is only with Allah. Okay? He says, at any time I've never asked you for any wealth. So he makes a very important point here that prophets, alayhimus salam, all prophets, they don't take any dunya from their followers. If there's a prophet who's asking you for money so that way he can provide for himself, you're probably going to tell yourself that this is probably not a prophet. Because a prophet doesn't work for this world. He doesn't work for prophets, right? A prophet works for the people to connect him to Allah. He doesn't work on his own bank account. This is why, by the way, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's family is made, it's impermissible to give them zakat. You cannot give zakat to the family of the Prophet ﷺ in the general sense because of the fact that no prophet should benefit from the wealth of the ummah, the wealth of the community, right? Or else it seems like they're benefiting from dunya. Nuh ﷺ is trying to tell his people something very important here. What is the thing he's trying to tell them? He says that, look, I'm not taking any wealth from you, okay? So, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. Like, why do you think I'm doing this? I'm not taking any money. I'm not getting any fame. I'm not getting any publicity, right? So there's nothing wrong with you practicing this Islam. I'm not charging you any tax. Nothing, you know, there's nothing that I'm getting from it. It's only for your benefit, you know? So this question that the Quraysh asked the Prophet ﷺ, they said, why isn't there a treasure with him? Why isn't there a treasure with him? They said this to the Prophet ﷺ, and the answer is, in ajri illa Allah, that my reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. The Prophet ﷺ was told by the Quraysh that there should be a treasure with you. And the Prophet ﷺ is given the answer from Nuh ﷺ. Nuh ﷺ, when his people say, you don't have any money, he goes and says, look, I never was doing it for the money in the first place. My reward is not even here. You know, Prophets ﷺ have traditionally lived very poor. There's only a few prophets you can name them on your fingers about, you know, which prophets were actually very wealthy. Comparatively, majority of the prophets were just very poor. They lived very, very humble lives, rather. They lived very simple lives. And so they were very, in terms of the worldly sense, you would call them people that lived very, very simple lives or poor lives. But in terms of what they had in their hearts and the wealth of Iman in their hearts, they were the richest people in the world. And so they said it very clearly, in ajri illa ala Allah, that look, if we're doing the work of deen, we don't really want the dunya anyways. We're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That way when we die, we have a permanent place with Allah azza wa jalla. Okay? And so this is the thing, by the way, that if you want your, and this is the thing about scholars, you know, we always say, why aren't the scholars doing this? And why are the scholars doing that? Why aren't the people, you know, knowledge doing this or doing that? Look, let's be real honest here. The scholar himself has to be struggling to make sure he can pay up his own stuff, to provide for his own family, to take care of his own stuff, right? But the thing is that no one is helping them out. No one is helping them so that way they can be free to do the khidmat of deen. You know, they do these things and Allah Ta'ala knows how many difficulties our scholars have to go through just to provide for their own family sometimes. Sometimes they go months without rent or salary or pay or whatever. You know, subhanAllah, but they're very patient with Allah. And they say, look, my reward is with Allah anyways. I'm not doing it for this stuff, you know? So keep this in mind. Sometimes we say these big things. We want this stuff to happen. But if we're not the ones funding it and providing for it, then we shouldn't be the ones complaining about it on the other side, right? So he goes and says, وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. Okay, so now he addresses the next point. They said, oh, Nuh, you don't have any money. He goes and says, I never was here for money in the first place. Why are you assuming that I was here for money? Okay, and then he goes and says, وَمَا أَنَا بِطَارِدِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The next thing, if you remember, we're going backwards from what they said. They claimed and said that those people that follow you are the worst, the scum of the earth, and they are people that have no opinions. They have no. They jumped into this religion without thinking about it. Okay, they accuse the followers of Nuh alayhi salam. So he goes and says, "I am not one who could drive the believers away." He uses a noun, saying, "I am never a person who could ever say to any believer who comes into Islam, oh, that's great, you want to practice Islam, but you're not rich, so I'm sorry, the door is right there, please leave." He said, I'm never ever going to be like that. Always. To the case that you'll never find me being a person who will drive the believers away. إِنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ. They are bound. Always. Again, the noun is being used. They are always meant to go meet their Lord. They weren't here to meet me. They weren't here to meet such and such, so and so, fulan, this person or that person. Everyone has been going. Our job is what? Where are we going? We're all going to go meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, that was their destiny. And I'm just a guide to help them there. Okay. So do you really think, Nuh alayhi salam saying, do you really think I could push them away because I need followers? Do you really think that's the thing that I'm doing here? That I'm trying to get some publicity? That's what people think, right? They thought about the prophets, that they are people just trying to get the leadership of the community. So Nuh alayhi salam says very beautifully to them, I'm not going to throw away anyone. Anyone who comes to the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're welcome. I am their servant and I will teach them the way to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think I'm doing it because I need followers? And this is telling the prophets, and this is telling the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that prophets cannot guide everyone. Okay? This is not the thing. People, again, they're looking at, they want like, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, you know, or like, oh man, Kobe Bryant, or, you know, Kanye West, you know, these types of people, like, and Shaquille O'Neal is a Muslim, by the way. But like, they're looking at these celebrities and saying, oh man, this guy became Muslim, this guy became Muslim, this guy became Muslim, man, everyone will be Muslim. I know it sounds great. On paper, it sounds great. But that's not our job. You know, if they get guided, alhamdulillah. If you're the one who gave him hidayah, may Allah reward you and Allah Ta'ala give you all the ajr for everyone else who becomes Muslim because of such people. But look, prophets cannot guide everyone. That's not the goal here. The Prophet ﷺ is being told too that, look, you have very poor followers. The Prophet ﷺ, in the beginning of Islam, you can imagine that many of the people that are following Islam were the poor of the community. Ibn Mas'ud, Suhaib al-Rumi, Bilal radiallahu anhu, there are many, many poor Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And it could come into the heart of anyone that say, man, we have all these poor people, but if we had someone rich and wealthy with us, then man, subhanAllah, Islam could be provided. But the thing is that the Prophet's job is not to guide everyone. The Prophet's job is what? Just to give the message to everyone, okay? The Prophets can only show the way for the ones who can see. For those people who are already blind, there's no path to show them in the first place. And if they're deaf, dumb, and blind, there's no way for them to hear you, no way for them to see you, and no way for them to even speak to you. Why would a person waste their time with such people? So the Prophet ﷺ is being told something very important here from the story of Nuh alayhi salam, or Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, don't get distracted from the Quraysh and don't get stuck that I need a rich person, a wealthy person in my ummah. You never needed that. That's not your job. Nuh alayhi salam is telling them something even deeper. He's going and telling everyone that he says, all my beloved people, if they were worshipping me, then I can kick out whoever I want. You know, clearly they're not worshipping me because they're worshipping Allah. And you can see that I'm not calling them to me. I'm calling them to Allah. You should understand that my message is real. I'm not doing this for me. I'm not doing this for anything that I can benefit from. I'm not taking any of your money. I'm not getting any of the dunya. Why would I even be doing this for dunya? Nothing in my life is showing me that I'm doing this for dunya. And this is the same message, by the way, that if any person were to criticize the Prophet Muhammad and say that he is a fake prophet, you need to explain it to them. And you need to defend the honor of our Nabi Muhammad. It is the least that we can do if someone is disrespecting our Prophet, calling him a false prophet or a fake prophet. You need to tell them that he What dunya did he benefit from? You're calling him a fake prophet. What did he benefit from? What did he get from dunya? Honestly, what did he get? He lived in such a small home that our closets, some of our closets will be bigger than the house of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't have any food to eat for 2 months on end. That they said, Aisha radiallahu anha said there was no fire in the house of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning no cooked food for 2 months. Sometimes he was so hungry he had to eat rotten dates. This man, after the Quraysh come to him and say, if you want, we will give you the leadership position of the Arabs. We will give you the most beautiful woman. We'll give you the wealth of the Arabs. We'll give you everything. Just stop preaching this Islam. His uncle Abu Talib comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, oh, my beloved nephew, can you please stop preaching this message of Islam? And the Prophet ﷺ tells his beloved uncle and says, oh, my beloved uncle Abu Talib, if they gave me the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left, I will never stop preaching this Islam. You know, we have to be honest with the reality. You know, people like to fake these messages or images and make these fake ideas about Islam and distort the true message of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ was very, in terms of what the world he had, he was very simple in this regard. In terms of what he had, in terms of his heart, in terms of his iman, he had everything, mashallah. So the thing is that, look, the Prophet ﷺ was not calling to himself. Nuh ﷺ was not calling to himself. We're not calling to ourselves. We just want that you and I, that we become people that praise Salah. You know, if I want to say what's in my heart as an imam of the community, I just want to see people that they're praying Salah and telling their children to pray Salah, you know. That's the goal, that they connect themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have nothing else to care about. I don't want any of your money, really. I don't care about these things. We just want that people are guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the goal here. Okay. Walakinni banu alayhi salam, again, he's a Nabi. A Nabi of such a fine caliber, alayhi salam. He goes and says, Walakinni araakum qawman tajhalun. But I can see, you know, that you are a people acting ignorantly. Okay, he uses a verb here. If you remember the verb, the verb is used for a certain time, in a certain time. I am hitting, right? Or I do hit. I hit in a certain time. He says that at certain times, you guys are acting like you're ignorant. He didn't say you are qawmun jahilun. He said qawmun tajhalun. He said that in certain times, you guys act a little ignorant. You're not always ignorant. And he didn't use the noun. If he used the noun, they could have said, hey, you're calling us dumb. He said, no. Sometimes you guys, you know, you don't do the smartest things. Sometimes you say some really foolish things, you know? And so he's trying to tell them, if I were to tell you, man, come on, man, the thing you just said right there wasn't the smartest thing. You know, I'm telling you basically that you are a smart person and mashallah, you can be better than that, you know? So Nuh alayhi salam is telling his people indirectly by using the verb. He's like trying to tell them that you are much better than this. Don't use these types of words. It's not who you are always. You're a much better person. And you can see again, and I just want to show you this because I brought this for this reason only, is that you can see the red and you can see the green, right? So in the beginning of the ayah, Allah Ta'ala uses the verb. In the middle of the ayah, Allah Ta'ala uses the nouns. And at the end of the ayah, Allah Ta'ala uses the verb again. A human being to do this, to go back and think about it, is very hard. Okay? And I can tell you it keeps happening because it's going to happen again in the next ayah. But you can see that, subhanAllah, the way that the ayah has been constructed, it's as if there was an intent to make sure that the permanent part is in the middle and the temporary parts around it. You know, subhanAllah. So again, you know, Allah Ta'ala knows about the depth of his book, mashallah. For an Arab to do this, to think about it again and again, and then come out with the message. The Prophet just gives ayats from his mouth. There's no thinking, you know? So for a person to do that, it's a remarkable power. It's a miracle, right? That's what the Quran is. So what is it that you want me to do? Nuh alayhi salam is basically telling his people, what is it you want me to do? Do you want me to push them away? Do you want me to push away the poor people? These people who believed in me, who've given their life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want me to push them away? Would you be happy then, right? He's telling them that, is it true that you'll be happy? Or will you start complaining? Because your nature keeps changing. If you remember from the previous section of the Surah Hud, there's a group of people that they, if they receive a benefit from Allah, they become happy. And when they don't receive anything, they become sad and disheartened, right? They become completely lost of hope. So you can see that people's positions and feelings change all the time. Nuh alayhi salam is basically telling them that if I kick them out, are you going to be happy or sad or complain? If perchance, he's saying, hypothetically speaking, if I were to push them away, you would probably say that, oh, look at this man. Because he wants us so badly, that's why he's able to kick out people that believe in his God. You know, they would actually flip on him. He goes and says that, I don't know if I do kick them out, you'll be happy or not. So, but there is someone who would definitely be upset if I were to kick away or push away the believers. We know who that is. وَيَا قَوْمِ مَا يَنْصُرُنِي مِنَ اللَّهِ. He goes and says, oh, my people, who would help me at any time Again, the present tense verb being used against Allah in tarattuhum. This is the past tense verb. I'm going to explain it in a second. Who will help me at any time against Allah if I were to drive them away? Afala tadhakkarun, would you take no lesson? One past tense verb in the middle of two present tense verbs. If you remember from the previous ayah, there were two present tense verbs, there are two verbs surrounding the entire thing. And again, we find the same exact thing and a past tense verb in the middle. All my people, who will help me at any time if I were to drive them away? If you remember what past tense verbs are used for in Arabic, past tense verbs are used for one time. He says, if I were to even once kick these people out and show them the door, Allah, no one can help me against Allah. Allah will finish me right now. There's no one to help me at any time in any place of the world against this terrible act that I've done. Even once if I were to do this. And this is why it's a reminder for every Muslim. If any Muslim comes to you and asks for help or needs some nasiha or wants some guidance, it doesn't matter who they are, new Muslim, veteran Muslim, whoever it might be, you have to help them. Because even if once were you to try to throw them away or kick them away or push them away, you never know if that's the reason why Allah stops helping you completely. We ask Allah for tawfiq that never happens. So if Nuh alayhi salam says, "Afala tadhakkarun," will you think about it? This is not about me. This is not about me. This is not about what I want or what you want. It's not that I'm calling anyone to myself. The Prophet is being told, Prophet Muhammad is being told something very beautiful. Remind Quraysh that it's not about you. It's not about them. It's not about me or him or she or there. It's all about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? If I were looking for any worldly position, Nuh alayhi salam telling them, I would have kept them away. But this is clearly not about me. This is clearly about Allah. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ وَلَا أَقُولُ إِنِّي مَلَكٌ. And he goes and says very beautifully, Nuh alayhi salam continues and says, and he answers every single one of their complaints and their issues. He goes and says, and I do not say at any time to you that I have the treasures of Allah, nor that I have the knowledge of the unseen, nor do I say that I am an angel. Okay? They asked him in the beginning, if you remember, the argument started off with, you don't have any wealth, you're just a human like us. So Nuh alayhi salam says very beautifully that, look, I never said I wasn't a human. Why are you putting words in my mouth? The same way Quraysh are saying about the Prophet ﷺ, he said, why isn't there a treasure? Why is he not an angel? Allah says that, why are you even bothering with this claim or comment? You never even said you were an angel. You never said there were supposed to be treasures. Nuh alayhi salam said, I told you I'm a human like you. I never said I was going to have the treasuries of Allah, nor the fact that I have the knowledge of the unseen. And I never even told you I was an angel. Why are you even saying these things about me? You know, when people claim things about you, just deny them. What's the problem? This is the most important part. This is the last part of Nuh alayhi salam's response to them. He goes and says, nor do I say about those whom your eyes despise. I will never say about those people who you call them scum. Your eyes looked at them and you hated them, you detested them, you despised them. I will never say to those people that Allah won't give them any good. Because why? Because, and so we need to understand this about the people, that in terms of the word isdira in Arabic, is when someone looks at something and they find it so atrocious or so disgusting. You know, we might find the same experience as Muslims looking at like a pig farm, you know, like, oh God, that's so disgusting. You know, like, oh my God, or like, a dog, you know, sometimes a dog for Muslims, like it becomes like this weird, we have this allergy towards dogs. We can't even look at them sometimes. You know, to me, I don't show any fear towards dogs. And I encourage you not to show fear, because that's why they jump on you, you know, when you show them that you're scared. Having said that, like sometimes we can't even look at certain things straight, you know, or the fact that we see something so haram and it just makes our eyes like completely turn away, you know. Tazdari a'yunukum. The sickness of the people of Nuh alayhi salam had reached so much, you know, to such a degree that they can't even look at the believers anymore. They look at them and they can't even look at them straight. They find so many faults. They look at this person. And this happens to us too as Muslims. You know, we have so many problems. The sickness is in all of us. What is that sickness? That when we see a Muslim who's never been practicing, or a sister without hijab, you know, oh, well, yeah, my God, she's not wearing hijab. You know, then we start to have this heart attack or this feeling in our hearts that something is so terribly wrong with this person in front of me. You know, and I, you know, you're finding so many faults. So along with that one fault, you start to look for other things. Oh, do they have a tattoo? Oh, do they have a boyfriend, girlfriend? Oh, what's their Facebook look like? Oh, what's, as if it's so important that we start to investigate every single part of their lives now. You know, we can't even look at them straight. So now we start to find so many faults along with it. That's the word isdira, okay? The Quran hammers on this point. If you probably noticed, we talked about eyes for quite some time. Because of the fact that people keep getting stuck on their vision and their eyes, this narrow tunnel vision. It's been the discussion of Surah Hud from the beginning about people just being so limited to what they can see, and they can't see further than what they can see. How many people in life, though we may not be able to look at them, we can go past the eyes. What does that mean? It means that in our hearts, we find that even though this person on the outside looks like such and such, we have so much compassion in our hearts for them. For example, a person who's homeless, or a Muslim brother in Syria, or sister in Syria, or Yemen, or in Uyghur, our eyes might look at them and say, and we look at their outward state, and our hearts might find, you know, like our eyes might be disgusted from what we, honestly, legitimately speaking, from what you're seeing. It might be very hard to look at what you're seeing. You know, certain pictures from Yemen and Syria actually hurt my eyes, like, because I, you know, but it doesn't hurt in the same way. How does it hurt now? It brings tears to our hearts. It brings tears to our eyes that how could a person suffer this much in the world, you know? And you start to cry because of the fact that you're seeing these things and it hurts so much that you wish you can help them. We can go past the eyes. When I see a Muslim brother who's sinning, my heart starts to cry. No, that's the feeling we should get. Not the feeling of, wow, what a despicable person. What a terrible person. Look how great I am. Oh, look how bad they are. Who are you and I? We are nothing. We are just so fortunate that Allah had given us some understanding. And that's from Allah. It's not from ourselves. When we look at someone who's sinning, we look at them, we go past the eyes. We go into our hearts and say, Allah, please guide them. Allah, please help them. What is one way I can maybe give them the message of Islam? That way they'll come towards Islam. You know, look past certain things. We can't seem to do that. We can never see past race or skin color, especially in our communities. I'm speaking majority for the Desi community, that we look down on so many people. We consider so many people below us. The Arabs will consider them below us because they'll say, oh, look at them, they're not practicing deen. Look at us, we're practicing deen. We'll look at converts and say, oh, look at them, they're like nobodies to us. They're insignificant people. You know, we won't even have different races or different ethnicities on our boards. And our masajid are becoming so racialized. You know, this is the black masjid, this is the Desi masjid, this is the Arab masjid. We can never really go past this race or skin color. And don't even get me started about marriage proposals, because this is not going to stop if we discuss this topic. The point is what? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَجَسَامِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. We are so lucky and we're so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at our images nor our bodies. He doesn't look at how much you weigh, sister, or the cosmetics on the face, or the makeup that a person puts on. Allah doesn't look at the image in the sense that, like, oh my God, this person's poor versus rich. That's not what Allah looks at. He looks at your hearts and what you do with the money that Allah has given you. He looks at your actions. We are so lucky that Allah looks at the most important things in life, and He goes beyond what people can see. Okay? So this is the thing, that we have to become like that too. Okay? So Nuh alayhi salam says, Allahu a'lamu bima fi anfusihim inni dhalla min adh-dhalimin. Allah knows best what's in their hearts. How could you say such a thing? You know? Nuh alayhi salam, this is the last part of his argument, and it's a very emotional one, because it offended him, it bothered him, and it bothers me, and it should bother everyone. Now, how could you look at a poor person and start looking down on them? Start saying things like, look at that, they followed him without thinking, they're idiots. You know, Allah knows what's in their hearts. If I start criticizing, critiquing what's in people's hearts, I'll be an oppressor, I'll be a wrongdoer. I have no right to talk about what's in people's hearts. And I hate this so much that so many people come and tell me about what's happening in this person's house and this person's house, as if I wanted to know about these things. Who wants to know about the sins that are happening in other people's house? Tell me about their good deeds. Why can't you tell me about their good deeds? You know, la ilaha illallah. And then we start saying that this person is a bad person, this person is a good person. How do you know they're a bad person or a good person? Have you seen their heart? You have an x-ray, that deep of an x-ray? You've got that microscope? Can you show it to me? Allah is the only one who knows. And we're so lucky Allah knows. Okay? So they said things like this to Nuh alayhi salam, that they had, you know, you say they had never thought about it. Maybe they did. Oh, people of Nuh, how do you know what's happening in their hearts? How do you know what's happening in their minds? They probably thought about it. You don't know. How do you think about it? How do you say these things? And we should always be careful about speaking about things we don't have knowledge of. If we don't have knowledge of it, just stay silent. It's safer for you. Because on the day of judgment, Allah will catch every single speech, every single letter that we said, and say, why did you say such a thing without knowledge? Allah will protect us and give us tawfiq, inshallah. So this is the last thing Nuh alayhi salam speaks about. And I told you before, it is the thing that hurts the most to speak about. And the emotional part came out at the end. Okay? The emotional part came out at the end. Why would you say such a thing? Aren't they human beings? Could anyone ever say things like about human beings like this? And I want you to note this and think about this. So the arguments that they gave was, we can't see it. You are human like us. They said that the worst follow you.
They said that they are not smart. They do it without thinking, right? And then they go and say that you don't have any superiority over us and that you are lying. So they brought about six arguments. Nuh alayhi salam, in such a beautiful way, he works backwards to tackle the bigger parts and then goes back to the beginning. They said that you are lying, you don't have any superiority. He goes and says, maybe something's wrong with your eyes that you can't see it. And then maybe I'm speaking the truth, but it's beyond what you can see. He goes and broadens the horizons and he goes and says that what is wrong with poverty? I never even asked you for any money. Why do you even ask about my poverty then, or the fact that I don't have any money? How does that even bother you? Should it even faze you? Then they go and say that the worst follow you. He says, I don't have any right in driving these people away. You act like the worst or the best follow me. I have anything to comment on that issue. So he works on that for his second argument. So he goes and broadens the horizons here too. He says, do you think I even have a choice in who follows me? Maybe you should consider that I'm not calling them for myself. I'm calling them for something bigger, right? Then he goes and they said the fact that you are a human like us. He said, I am a human like you. I never even said I wasn't, you know? I never said that I have Allah's treasures or know the unseen, but I am an angel. As you can see in each one of these things, Nuh alayhi salam, along with refuting them and responding to them, he makes sure to expand their thinking a little bit, to think a little deeper, to try a little harder, because the way they're looking so narrow, this is just open up the tunnel a little bit to see what's really out there. And so you're going to notice for every single thing that they said, he responded to all their arguments. And then he picks out the most sensitive topic, which is the fact that they insulted them. They said that they did this without thinking. And he brought it at the end, because this is something that the people of Nuh cannot respond to. If someone ended the argument saying that you are a racist because of such and such reasons, for you to come up and respond after me calling you a racist, I'm telling you, there's no response. It's very hard. No one's going to listen to you afterwards. Nuh alayhi salam, in this beautiful argument that he presents, is able to completely flip the topic on them and completely respond to them. And we're going to talk about how they responded. If you want to talk about a perfect response, this was an absolute perfect response. To the point that Nuh alayhi salam, even at the end of the discussion, he goes and says, I am the oppressor. I will be oppressor then. I'll be a wrongdoer. Even faults himself at the end. So people can see how such a humble person is speaking to them, speaking before them, mashallah. So subhanAllah, it's an amazing response. And let me just show you real quick about their response. You're probably thinking, man, they have a really good response. Here's their response. Nuh, you have debated us too much. Who started the debate? They did. Who argued first? They did. They said, Nuh, you have debated with us and debated too much. So now just bring us what you're threatening us with. Just bring it now. SubhanAllah. In other words, they don't have any response, right? You can't respond to such a beautiful argument the way Nuh alayhi salam presented it. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. We'll follow up from right after, inshallah. The next part is an amazing part, extraordinary part. Each part will continue, inshallah, until we finish the end of Nuh alayhi salam and move to every single prophet, which is mentioned in Surah Hud. We ask Allah for tawfiq and guidance, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.